point. Hello and welcome.
Hello.
I'm Heather.
And I'm Laura.
Welcome to Sweet Sweet Death. It's Thanksgiving tomorrow. This is a late record. Of course, this will not be released until after Thanksgiving, well after. Yeah. So John and Mary were supposed to go to Kansas. You have no idea how excited I was to have spend Thanksgiving alone. Yeah. I'm not being facetious. I mean it. I was pumped to be all by myself. Yeah. Unfortunately, John's stepmom fell ill. Not very ill. Just like definitely under the weather. Mm-hmm. So then it was like, well, okay. Yeah. So instead of, you know, tomorrow I was going to like, honestly, I was going to order Grubhub tonight and eat like no one was watching. And then I was going to have leftovers tomorrow. So now I will spend my day in the kitchen cooking.
Oh, sad.
I mean, I'm excited to like cook for my family. It is kind of nice having them here for Thanksgiving. But, well, I was also planning on maybe taking some shrooms. So that's not happening now.
Plans are canceled.
It still could. Don't get me wrong. It could.
Okay.
I won't. it's not how you want your 12-year-old to remember the Thanksgiving of 2021 when mom went running naked down the street because she was tripping her ass off. Yeah, other than that, well, you said you haven't like had anything really going on this week.
Just working. I didn't really have the weekend, so
that's right. Yeah. They overbooked
for cakes. My boss texted and she was like, thanks for all the work you guys do, blah blah blah, and I guess we're getting a paid holiday for Thanksgiving. So I was like, okay
sure. Yeah. Fuck yeah. Thank God. Yeah, some recognition.
I know, right? I was like, yay.
That's nice. I would have never done that for you.
So funny.
I used to be your boss. What else? Oh, dude. Okay. I went down a serious music rabbit hole. I love Alt J so much. And like, I've always liked them, but something happened over this past weekend where I just listened to everything over and over and over. There was this one song, you know, I'd always thought like, what's their best song? Mm-hmm. And I couldn't really think. I was like, oh, they're just all so good. And then I heard this song, dude. This is their best fucking song. I don't know if it's for everybody, but it's called Adeline by Alt J. There is something haunting about that song, dude. It's so fucking good.
Yeah.
I probably listened to it. I'm not joking. Over the past 5 days, I've probably listened to it like 40 times.
Wow.
To it a lot, dude. I can't stop because every time I go to listen to some music, it's like I could put something else on or I could listen to that song again. Yeah. And then it's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to play that song again. So, yeah, I kind of went down.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever heard it. I have to listen to it.
Yeah.
What is like a popular song they sing? I'm trying to think of like
Breeze Blocks.
Okay, that's what I thought. I was
Left Hand
say.
Free.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So they've got some that are like familiar, but I feel like their best songs, no one knows. Yeah. So yeah, Alt J. If you're feeling bored and you want something really weird and bizarre, but we're like, but it's so, I can't even describe it. It almost feels like, okay, don't laugh at me. It feels like a fairy tale.
Yeah.
A little bit when you listen to it.
I have songs where they'll make me feel just like, you know, a certain way and like, I get really,
I feel
like,
magical.
Addicted to it. Like, yeah. You know, yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Like, I have songs that make me feel like I'm in Pulp Fiction and I'll just be like, driving down the road smoking a CBD cigarette.
Like, Uma fucking 30.
Yeah.
And then I also went down a little bit in Alice in Chains rabbit hole. Mm. So like I always knew I liked them, right? I grew up listening to K-Rock. And I've been doing that weird, you know how I like weird reaction videos. Okay. So I've just been watching more and people going through like different Alice in Chains song. And then someone suggested one of their Unplugged from their Unplugged session on MTV. And that shit I think is better than anything they've released. Like that unplugged acoustic was amazing.
I wonder if I've heard it. Garrett used to always like listen to tons of videos, watch tons of shit on YouTube of Alice in Chains.
Really?
So, yeah.
Dude, well, and then, okay, because then all these like the suggested videos were like the tragedy of, what was his name? Lane Staley, I think. I think his name is Lane something. Like the tragic story of this guy. And then I clicked on it and I started reading his life. Oh my God. Like, I know that 90s was like their way of dealing with like depression because people didn't still like were thought that therapy was for crazy people.
Yeah.
So like they just drank and did heroin, I think, in the early 90s. So yeah, dude, like really dark. He like lost an arm before he died. He was like dead in his apartment for days before they found him because they did. It was like horrible. Like this unplugged session by MTV on MTV was, I think they said it was one of the last times they all your fucking face. It was one of the last times that they performed together.
No.
Yeah, because he was like so out of it. Like he was always high. Yeah. Like he was always missing.
He was like the sessions. Singer, right?
Or, yeah, he was the lead singer.
Yeah, because I saw Alice in Chains, but it was like
not
with the new singer. Yeah.
Yeah, because he died in 2002.
Yeah.
I guess so. That was heartbreaking. So heartbreaking. And then reading to the MTV Unplugged thing. So first he was high because I remember looking at him and was like, dude, that dude looks like, like he's kind of out of it. And he was, but like, dude, he still sang a beautiful performance. But I guess the guitar player also had just gotten food poisoning. They said he like had eaten a bad hot dog. There was like a trash can next to him while they're filming. I guess they were like, he barely like held it in. He like felt like he was gonna barf the whole time. So like they hadn't rehearsed, they hadn't played together live in like 3 years. So yeah, it was like a fucking miracle this thing came together. So yeah, that was their Mona Lisa of music. You guys saw Alice in Chains at the Broadmoor World Arena.
It was at that one that's like right there by, it's like downtown.
The city auditorium?
Like, I think. It's like that gray building. It's downtown. It's next to like the library.
I think. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. The, I don't know. Like, what it's just called. The Pikes Peak Center. I think.
Something like that.
Okay. Right on.
Yeah.
It's amazing when like big acts come through Colorado Springs. Yeah.
It
like,
sucks because it was one of those ones where you have to sit down. I hate concerts where you're sitting.
Yes.
It's just different.
I'm with you. So. Because, like, I would love to go to Red Rocks and see... Like, I've been to Red Rocks one time, and I didn't love it. Yeah. And it wasn't because the band was bad. Like, it was Flogging Molly, so they're, like, perfect,
you
know?
Oh, yeah, you went with Ricky.
I went with Ricky, right? So, the only thing that sucks about being in specific seating is if you're around people who aren't having as much fun as you... You have to be next to them.
Yeah.
So if you're like dancing and then you turn and you look and there's some person like frumping, like they don't want to be there. Yeah. And it's like, oh, you're such a like vibe killer.
Yeah, literally.
And then too, like it's a, you know, it's punk. So like for me, every Flogging Molly show I've been to, I've been able to mosh and like interact with the crowd. And like,
you couldn't do that.
You can't really do that at Red Rocks. So I want to go back to Red Rocks really, really bad.
Yeah.
But I want to see the right band.
Yeah. I went to Red Rocks once for that Led Zeppelin cover band.
Cool. Yes.
It was really cool. They did. It was like crazy how much they like sounded and looked like them. But it was really weird. Did you know there's a museum underneath
No. Red Rocks?
Yeah. Because while we were waiting, like during that middle thing, we went downstairs and there was like a whole fucking museum down there, like posters, guitars that are signed, it was crazy. And you could just walk through it for free. And I was like, what? But they were like about to start playing again. So we're like, okay, we have to like go. So I didn't get to walk through it, but yeah.
Darn. Was it the girl cover band?
No.
Okay. Cause there is a girl cover band called Les Zeppelin.
Oh.
And that's funny. Yeah.
No, I can't remember what they're called. Or Get the Let Out.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I don't think I've ever seen a cover band. Do you remember there were like all these stories about people who thought they were going to see Red Hot Chili Peppers and it ended up being this cover band called the Red Hot Chili Pipers? And it was like this Scottish version of Red Hot Chili Peppers or something. Where people were like fucking furious when they showed up, like,
out.
What? Who
it's
the
so
fuck
funny.
Is this? the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Can you imagine half the crowd being like, what did he just say?
Oh my God.
Yeah, there was like, I think it was like a horror story I remember reading of somebody like, they were surprising their girlfriend. It was like this big deal.
Did you not read or something?
Red Hot Chili Peppers, it kind of looks a lot like Red Hot Chili Peppers. He just saw Red Hot Chili and then stopped there.
It's funny. Oh my God.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
No, probably not as bad though. Like those stories too about counterfeit tickets. Remember that shit with... was it the Black Keys where something happened with their very first show where they weren't buying secondhand ticket or they weren't allowing secondhand tickets in and it was like half full, like a Black Keys. They had taken a huge break and then they went back on tour and then like something happened where like half the people weren't getting in because they had bought it secondhand and not directly through Ticketmaster or something like that or Access or whatever. So like people were losing their shit. Yeah. I'd have lost my shit.
Me too. I'd been like, oh, hell no.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and what do you do too when like the robots end up buying like half the fucking tickets? Like, what are you supposed to do? Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Mm-mm. Like that time I tried to get Billie Eilish tickets and I watched all like slowly all the seats were graying out.
Oh my God. You're like, what? And they're just like clicking more like, what? And they're just like all, but good thing you didn't because
it ended up being COVID anyway. But like, I was so excited to surprise her. She like loved Billie Eilish at the time. She thinks she still likes her, but it's not like the obsession is not as much. Because I just, dude. And at first I remember going, I started being picky for the first 30 seconds. And I think that was a critical moment and a judgment and error of I should have just immediately clicked on anything I fucking could have.
It was like so bizarre to me that you couldn't even get like...
I couldn't get anything.
Anything. I'm like, how? Yeah. Like, how is anyone getting anything? It's so weird.
I can't believe it. And it took... It was 7 minutes. It took for the Pepsi Center to gray out to nothing. And then to go on secondhand sites, you know, of... sellers and then like it was they had I think it was at least half at least half the seats they had taken. It's like god damn it man, like the fans are forced to pay like three times as much. So that's my rant about the music industry today. So the day you were gonna record, you know, of course, the day before John had left to go somewhere and then he comes inside, he's like, yeah, I took a little longer. I had to call the city. The street's leaking. It's like, what? So I pop my head out and like, there's just water, just this little bit of water just shooting out of the street.
Uh-oh.
Not bad, but like concerning where it's like, that's not right.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but we're right next to Springs Utilities. Oh, so like the truck just shows up within like 5 minutes. They put like, it was actually very dramatic. They put like, it's like this little tiny leak. It's not really making that much of a splash, but they put like these big giant four cones like surrounding it with like a caution sign. It was like very dramatic for like this little bit of water coming out of the street. But some men came by. They dug everything up.
Yep.
Dude, they dug deep. It looked like 6 feet. They had to fucking dig down to get to that pipe and just very shittily filled it in. I don't know if you saw the...
No, I didn't look.
Oh, when you leave, you can't miss it. It's just shitty. It just, they tamped it down. And that was it. So I'm sure that's going to be a nightmare from here on out. Yeah. Until they redo the entire street, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it was just that little leak, but they had to, I mean, it must have been like...
Yeah, you have to cut out like a big...
Like 5 by 5, 6 feet deep. Yeah, it was pretty intense. Oof. So how are them hiccups doing over there?
It was more like burps. I don't really know from what, but...
The burpy hiccups.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I watched some weird movie too. It's called like The Killing of the Sacred Deer. Have you heard of that?
Nope.
I wonder if it's on one of those episodes of like, how did this get made?
Uh-huh.
It was such a fucking bizarre movie. It had Colin Farrell in it, Nicole Kidman.
Really? Colin Farrell, Nicole Kidman. When was this?
It was older. I feel like it was from like 2018 or something. Oh, okay. 2017. But the whole time I was just like, what the fuck? And just like they talk so weird and just like the way it's filmed is so weird. And
what
just,
is it
like,
about?
So it's like, it starts off as like Colin Farrell. He's a doctor. Uh-huh. And... this weird kid keeps visiting him, talking about how his father died and, oh, when we visited you in the hospital. And then, like, the kid starts, like being more forceful and, like, wanting to see him. And just, like, very weird encounters where he comes to meet the family. Okay. And then it's, like, the kid basically blames the father for killing his dad. Because he, like, performed surgery on him or something. And so, like, it's, like, the doctor's trying to make it up to him and, like, give him gifts and stuff. But then the kid's, like, choose between, like, which one of your family members is going to live or I'm going to kill all of them.
What?
And then, like, his son stops, like, walking and then can't eat. He's, like, there's four stages. Like, refusal to eat, this, that, and then bleeding of eyes. And then, like, the daughter stops, like, walking. Oh, my and then, God. Like, so then they're, like, freaking out about who to, like, choose. And there's, like, one point where Nicole Kidman's like, I think the only logical thing is to choose a child. Like, we can always have another child.
And,
like,
oh, my God. The movie was just, bitch.
Yeah, the movie was just so bizarre, dude. And, like, the ending was just like, what the fuck?
What,
like,
is it called?
The Killing of the Sacred Deer. I feel like you could watch it. It's not really scary. It's just, like,
weird. I have so many good shows I need to catch up on. You know, I have thought about, sometimes even on How Did This Get Made, they'll recommend bad movies. Yeah. And I'm always like, I'm never going to watch that, like, ever.
It was really weird. Just like, okay, spoiler alert, if you're never going to watch it.
No.
Because they, like, can't decide, and then, like, the son's eyes start bleeding, and, like, oh, there's so many weird scenes I wish I could tell you about. But, like, anyways, he, like, goes to the wife, he's like, get ready, we're all in the living room, like, at the very end, because, like, the kid's eye starts bleeding and the daughter's like, dad, Bob's dying or whatever. And then, like, it was, like, so weird too. They're, like, talking and she's like, can I have your mp3 player when you're dead? Like, what, just like the fuck? Just like so many weird encounters. But anyways, she's like, Bob's dying. So then he's like, come down to the living room, we're all waiting for you. She's like, I'm gonna put on that black dress, the black dress you like. Then he's like, okay, whatever. Then he goes down to the fucking living room. They're all, like, tied up. He puts pillowcases over their heads. Then he's holding, like, a fucking rifle, and he just starts spinning in a circle. Then he'll, like, stop because he can't see. Shoots, like, hits nothing. Keeps spinning in a circle. Finally, he lands on the son, like, the only normal person in the movie.
Yeah.
And fucking shoots him. And, like, yeah, it was so weird. And then it's just, like, the movie ends, and then they're, like, all in this diner eating, and then, like, the weird kid is there, and, like, he just has that face you want to punch, like, the whole movie. He's, like, eating his fries, and they, like, all look at him, and just, like, it ends, and you're just, like,
oh,
it's so weird.
I hate that so much.
Me too. Dylan and I watched it, and we were just, like, afterward, like, he's, like, look it up. I was, like, okay. We were so confused.
It doesn't look like they've covered it, which is too bad, but you'll be happy to know it did get 80% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Of course it did. Because it doesn't make any fucking sense.
Rotten Tomatoes always loves anything that's just, like,
esoteric and bizarre. And, like, look, I know, like, a really famous, like, David Lynch is so famous, right? Like, people love his work. I really tried to like Mulholland Drive. As far as I'm concerned, it's unwatchable. I hated it. I don't think I've
ever seen that or heard it.
Maybe you'll love it. Maybe. Who knows? I could be just the world's biggest dum-dum. You know? I guess I didn't get it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think I'm okay with that. Like, I can live with the fact that I just don't get David Lynch and just move on with my fucking life.
Mulholland Drive?
Yeah. I'll just go watch another Transformers movie. I accept my actions. It's fine.
I've never heard of that.
It's just bizarre. There's, like, this huge, I don't know, lesbian scene with Naomi Watts. I think people really freaked out about that.
Oh, okay. Oh, my God.
Have you seen this?
I think I saw this on TV when I was, like, literally, like, 8 years old or something like that. And, like, seeing, like, scenes of it. And I was just like, what the fuck? And, like, yeah, I have to watch that. It's funny.
Okay.
Yeah, and then 2001, I was like, how old was I?
Like, don't do six this or to seven. Me.
So it must have come on TV one day, and I was like, like eight, and like, what?
Yeah. It's, that's okay. I was like 23, and I was like, what? Because some people, you know, just swear by it. Like, another thing, okay. because I feel a little bad saying it out loud, because he's apparently this legend of the rock and roll world. People worship this man, and I can't stand it. I don't like it. Tom Waits? Do you know Tom Waits?
No.
Okay, you're probably better for it. Look, he's a very rough listen. People, like, lose their shit over Tom Waits.
He sounds familiar. I probably have, like, maybe one song by him or something.
Maybe.
Yeah, I have one song, The Going Out West.
Okay, maybe.
I like that song.
Maybe I should listen to that one and try. Because, well, the person who introduced me to it is really into, like, just more avant-garde a little bit in terms of music. You know, like loves Bjork, okay?
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I guess I'm just shitting on musicians today. It's people that annoy me. Fucking Yoko Ono can suck it, right? So she introduced me to Tom Waits, and I, knowing her, she probably played, like, the weirdest, most bizarre one that she could think of that she loved that, like, meant so much to her.
Is this your friend in Denver?
No, oh, no, okay. This is, well, the old friend. The friend that... Oh. The Bridget friend. Well, maybe, okay, I gotta stop saying that. Starts with a J, yeah. We'll call them Schmo.
Okay.
Righto. Yeah. Cryptic. Crack that one, internet. Yeah, I don't know, like, who's a band that you fucking hate that you don't get, that everybody loves?
Motley Crue.
Okay, fair enough. That was a quick answer. Mine would
just
be
just like basic, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I guess I'm the same, like Guns N' Roses, where I'm like, yeah, I don't fucking get it.
I hate Guns N' Roses too.
30 Seconds to Mars. I think I do just have a general hatred for Jared Leto, though. My favorite movie with him in it is probably Fight Club, because he gets the shit beat out of him in Fight Club.
I sort of remember him
He's the blonde kid. Oh, shit. Now I'm... Hold on. I need to fact check myself real quick on the internet. All right. So Fight Club. Yes. That. And I think Girl Interrupted. Every other movie he's been in. Mm-hmm. Nah, you know what? Dallas Buyers Club is pretty good.
I forget he's in Girl Interrupted.
Yeah, just a little bit. Yeah. Just a little bit part. And
I love that movie.
Dude, that movie is fucking timeless. Yeah. It's awful.
I haven't watched it in a while. Yeah. I need to watch it.
Dude, me too. I was thinking that too, because I had a friend who said, like... She was like, yeah, I rewatched it, and I just don't know how I could laugh at that. That's like mental health problems. She like got all worked up, and I was like, really?
Yeah.
I feel like I need to rewatch it and be like, is it really cruel towards like mental health? Because I don't remember it being that way. I remember it being maybe shining a light at it.
Just like how it like kind of like just like it's all these fucking crazy people. And just like
it's almost like the inmates are running the asylum type feeling. You know, everybody's all fucked up, and... people aren't being treated seriously, and I don't know, and there's also like just that harsh reality check for certain characters. I don't know, I don't feel like it was cruel.
Love that movie.
All right, watch so it good. Report back to me.
Even got an Eden chicken.
Oh god.
It's like, you mean kitchen? That's what I said, asshole.
Dude, they were all fucking perfect. Yeah. God, Brittany Murphy. You and your chickens.
Like, yeah. It's fucking chicken or whatever.
But what they don't know is you've liked it. Like, so fucked good.
Up. Yeah.
Fucking Winona Ryder.
Angelina Jolie's character, too, is just, like, so, like...
fucking great, dude.
And she fucking killed herself. She's like, she's been playing that shit all morning. Like, yelling over there. I love that movie so good.
Was like just so lacking in any kind of empathy or emotion.
Literally.
Just doesn't fucking give a shit about anyone. Caesar, spoiler alert, hanging there and just like takes the money out of her robe. Like, you know, sometimes.
She's like, we need to call an ambulance. She's like, make it a hearse.
Yeah. She's such a bitch. Yeah. Such a great movie. Yeah,
fucking robs her.
Everything she's been in, man.
She's so young in that movie too.
Yeah, I think, dude, like one of my favorite movies is Little Women.
Oh yeah, I've seen that forever.
I think just because like sisters, if you like, you're so close with your sisters, you should watch it. And like
they remade it, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah,
I can't. It was good, but like for me, it's that Winona Ryder version. Like that's the only version I need. I was actually really excited. I went to the movie theater and watched it by myself because really. No one wanted to watch it with me. I was like, I'm going to go by myself. Yeah, and I was like, damn, it's not as good as...
Yeah.
I shouldn't have done it.
I went and saw Ghostbusters, too, the new Ghostbusters.
What'd you think?
It was cute. I feel like a lot of people, like, hated it, like...
Yeah.
But I just thought it was, like, cute, you know? And yeah. It has fucking Finn Wolfhard from Stranger Things in it, and the little girl from Haunting of Hill House, too.
Okay. I didn't watch that like, second one.
The second one, but the first one.
Oh,
I just meant, like...
as anyway, well, in yeah. addition to...
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, but yeah, so I went and saw that. It was cool. I went to the Roadhouse Cinema. Have you been there?
No, that's one where they like give you food
and drinks and
they serve
that.
You. Yeah.
It was so funny too because the guy came up and he brought me my drink and it's like just this loud commercial, like,
yeah.
And he's like saying something and I was like, what? And he's just like making this face at me, like trying to give me my drink. And I was like, I can't hear what you're saying. And then he's like, I was like, don't worry about it. He's like, okay, bye or whatever. And then I realized, because I was sitting there thinking, and I think he was saying, like, bad timing.
Yeah.
But then, like, it literally was bad timing. Cause I can't hear him. And then after he left, I was, like, thinking about, like, what the way his lips were moving. I was like, what was he saying?
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh. But yeah, it was funny.
Yeah. Did you, like, readdress it when he came back?
No.
Like, back at you, bud.
Yeah. I was like, whatever. It's fine.
Damn.
Yeah, poor guy.
Yeah, he probably. Maybe he's new. Maybe they're all like. Maybe he'll go back and tell him like, yeah. So I said bad timing during a loud commercial, and she was like, "What?" And all of you know everybody else who works there is like, amateur.
Yeah,
never talk literally. To them during commercials.
I feel like that must be like just such a kind of like shitty job. Probably. Just like trying to like talk to someone.
Do you have
like
to
wow.
tip them?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's like going to a restaurant, but it's like kind of weird, you know?
Yeah. Did you...
Because like, they're like talking like during the movie and then there's like points where they come back and you're like ordering things, and, but you're like missing parts of the movie and then
yeah.
you're like, oh fuck. And like, yeah, it's kind of weird.
It's so bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It takes everything for us just to go to the normal movies.
Yeah.
Like the last thing we saw was Dune. And then before that, I don't remember. Oh, Free Guy. And then before that, nothing because of COVID.
Yeah.
So like, we've seen two movies.
Yeah. I feel like after COVID, I really don't see that many movies anymore because now it's just like
everything.
They're more likely getting released on like HBO. And I'm like, okay, sweet. Like, I'd rather stay
home. There are some movies where it's like, I think, like for us, Dune, it was like, we have to go see that.
Yeah.
Like, because we're so excited to see it, we should see it on the big screen. And it was totally worth it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm kind of with you. Like, there's that... Okay, I'm a sucker for a good drama, but, like, there's that Will Smith, the Serena Williams, Venus Williams, the tennis players, like, their biopic. I don't remember what it's called.
No.
Okay, but it's on HBO Max.
Okay.
If you see, like, Will Smith's face, that's what it's for. And it just... It looks good, and I was, like, trying to get them on board. I was even thinking of seeing it in theaters, and John was like, I don't know if I even want to watch that, like, at home. And I was like, you fucking suck. So he's dead inside.
Yeah. I just rewatched I Am Legend. Speaking of fucking Will Smith. Yeah. So sad.
He's fucking good, dude. I've been thinking about trying to get her to watch Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, dude.
That
I feel like
such
I watched it when I was
show.
Like her age and I fucking loved it. Like,
yeah.
It's so hilarious.
I wasn't allowed to watch it because it made some vague sexual references. So anytime there was a sexual reference, it was like there was going to be a talking to about what we were watching. Like, I think I told you, and we should, oh God, we really got to like wrap this shit up. But like, there was one time I was watching this movie called A Simple Twist of Fate with Steve Martin.
Mm-hmm.
And in just the first 5 minutes of the movie, it's honestly like it's such a nothing comment. But like this pregnant woman approaches Steve Martin and she's like I said, very pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, the baby isn't yours. And my mom's like, Heather. That I got like, what are you having us watch? Like this sinful adulteress.
It's so funny.
This succubus, this minx, this vixen. Yeah. So.
It's funny. Okay, sorry.
It's okay. I'm pausing and we're rolling.
So today I'm going to be talking about Darcy P. Pierce and the murder of Cindy Ray. So on July 23rd of 1987, Cindy Ray was almost 9 months pregnant, and she went to the clinic. And I guess she lived on like the Air Force base, whatever, with her husband. So she went to the clinic there, and she was going to listen to her child's heartbeat. She was literally supposed to give birth like 2 weeks after this or something like that.
Yeah.
I guess like everywhere I read, it was like a sweltering hot day. And Darcy Pierce, a deranged 19-year-old, would just so happen to be crossing paths with Sydney on this day. And I guess she was like sitting in her car in like a blue and white striped dress, like with a fake belly, because she's like pretending to be pregnant, like one of those people. Yeah,
one of them bitches.
Yeah, so Sydney, the chick who gets murdered, was a devout Mormon, and she was known as like a sweet and kind and like loving person. And on the day of the 23rd, she didn't even like drink caffeine. I guess she had a soda this day just like to be able to hear her baby's heartbeat. So they needed to get like a good recording of it or something like that.
Oh, crazy.
So that's like how like
devout she was.
Like, yeah, like she didn't even drink caffeine, kind of a thing. And mm-hmm. I remember Garrett's family like was like that too, like they wouldn't eat sugar and just like weird shit. I was like, what the fuck?
That is no way to live.
Yeah. So anyways, Darcy on the other hand was a 19-year-old who had been abandoned when she was 11. She was like obsessed with having a baby. She had lied to her husband, her friends, and her family about her pregnancy. She had gained 60 pounds because like she was like so devoted to this lie, and stuffed her belly in order to seem like larger and like she was pregnant. So despite her being so young, Darcy was like just obsessed with having a baby. She had miscarried twice and like obviously had time to like still continue trying to have a baby, but she was like, I need one now.
Yeah.
So she was like, I can't wait any longer. So her husband had been expecting her to give birth, and her family had even like thrown her a baby shower. This is like just like how long it had been that she's like saying she's pregnant. So on the day of the 23rd, Darcy and Cindy both sat in that parking lot outside of the clinic at Kirkland Air Force Base. She apparently was scheduled to have the baby and like be induced at 5 this day.
Mm-hmm.
The chick who's faking her pregnancy.
Jesus.
Yeah. So the University of New Mexico Hospital was going to induce labor. She had already put the procedure off for a week. And yeah, people were just like, when are you going to go? Like, her family was like anxious. Her husband was like waiting, like eager. Yeah. And she's just like, fuck. Like, so. Yeah. Yeah, she even had like a nursery ready. Her suitcase was packed for the hospital, and she's like, fuck, I need to go find a baby. So
this is next level.
Yeah. So apparently what happened in this case is called like baby lust, and so it's like an extreme example of like maternal instinct. And I just like looked up a little bit about it. So like from 1964 to October 2019, 41 infant abductions happened in just Texas.
And
yeah, 327 under the age of one in like the whole U.S. I just thought it was so crazy that like 41 of them were in Texas. Like,
yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I guess 140 were from healthcare facilities, 140 from homes, and 47 other ones from just like different locations. And apparently a nurse or healthcare worker is more likely to take a child from a healthcare facility.
Oh my gosh.
While a babysitter or relative is more likely to take an infant from a home.
Whoa.
Which is like kind of scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I guess only 39 of these cases resulted in the mother's death, and Sydney was one of those.
Yeah.
Oh, and also like baby stealers typically have a fragile sense of self, a disturbed family background, and a dependency on others. So this reminded me just like of the story while I was like doing research on this of when my sister was like super pregnant. I don't know if I told you this, but she went to the grocery store and some other woman who like looked pregnant came up to her and like was like really like, Rachel said it like scared her just like how insistent she was, and she was like just like, you need to put me in your phone, and like we should be friends, you should come to my house, and like was just like really insistent on Rachel like hanging out with her. And my sister said she just got this like really weird like vibe from her, and I was like, what if she was like faking being pregnant or something like that? And like yeah, I don't know, it was just like creepy because like I guess like most of the people who do this usually like fake being pregnant and like befriend pregnant women.
Oh my god.
Then I was just like thought about that while I was doing this, but yeah,
like, dude, like, she was absolutely gonna die.
Just like kind of creepy. And then my sister I guess was like freaking out too because the woman had like taken her phone and was like, let me give you my number.
Whoa.
And then Rachel like started thinking like, what if she like texted herself or like
dude,
sent my
new location. Like, she's like freaking out, like, and obviously she's like pregnant, so her pregnancy brain's like making her like freak out even more. But yeah, I just remember her calling me after freaked out,
like, don't touch my fucking phone.
Yeah, it was really fucking weird. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so on this day at about 3:15, Cindy Ray's husband, who was a military policeman, walks across the street from his office to the clinic, and he stops by her red Blazer that she had driven to the clinic to put his gun. I guess there was like a gun belt or something in the car, and then I guess he said he noticed she like had a Tupperware order still sitting on her seat, the passenger seat. So I guess she was just like one of those ladies who like sold you Tupperware or whatever, yeah. Which I felt like was like such like an 80s thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
Reminds me of like Napoleon Dynamite or whatever. But yes. Yeah, anyways, so he walks into the clinic, he's like looking for her and she's nowhere to be found. The nurse was like already with another patient. She's like, oh, you just missed her. She literally left like not even 5 minutes ago. So he goes back outside, doesn't like see her anywhere. Then he's like, well, I have to go pick up our 2-year-old from the babysitter. So he leaves. So at the same time, okay, so a man named, I'm sorry, I can't read my handwriting, but Theron Horshern or Harshern, something like that. Anyways, he worked at an Albuquerque wallboard company. I don't know what that means, but he left work while Sam Ray, Sydney's husband, was still searching for her. And he lived like out kind of like in the wooded area, and he had been mm-hmm. building a house off of like a forest service road or something like that. Mm-hmm. So he kind of had to drive like out into the mountains, and he ends up like turning on his road at around 4 p.m. And just a quarter mile past the cattle guard, a Volkswagen sat in the road facing him, and both of the doors were open. Ugh. So out of nowhere, Darcy appears, like, runs, like, from, like, juniper trees or whatever. And she's in, like, a white dress, and she's like, me and my friend need to be left alone. And he's like, okay. And he, like, thought that, like, she was, like, with a man or something. Like,
yeah, oh, was, okay, like, oh, sure.
Like, they must be, like, so he's like, okay. And she's like, yeah, we need to be left alone. Like, and it's, like, insisting, like, 3 or 4 times. He's like, okay, just let me pass by or whatever.
Yeah.
So he passes by, and as he's driving by, he looks out the window. And on the hillside, he sees, like, a woman laying on her back, like, sprawled out by the trees. And he just thinks, like, oh, must be, like,
yeah.
She's like, I don't know. He thought they were having some kind of weird relationship thing or whatever. I don't know. So he's like, okay, like, doesn't think anything of it. So, meanwhile, Sam Ray is searching the Air Force base for his wife, Cindy. He's, like, freaking out at this point because she's never, like, not home kind of a thing. Like, always lets him know where she is. And so, yeah, he's just, like, freaking out. So, Cindy was Sam's high school sweetheart. They fell in love and met in band. I thought that was, like, kind of sweet.
Such nerds.
Yeah, he led the drum section and she played the cymbals. And after returning home from his little 18-month mission trip, they got married and they had moved to Germany. They were just, like, really, like, I guess, like, in love kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's so kind of sad. Anyways, okay. So later that day at 4:30, a car salesman who seemed distraught goes to the desk of this guy named Rob Moore. And he was the manager at... Okay, I'm just going to say this again. He was a manager at an Acura in North Albuquerque.
Right on.
So he told him that there was a woman in the parking lot having a baby and that she was asking for him. And it's just like a random fucking guy, okay?
Yeah.
She's asking for him. So there in the parking lot sat that same Volkswagen that had been on that forest road just 30 minutes before. At the wheel sat Darcy. She had a baby wrapped in a blood-stained dress. It was a blue and white striped dress she had had on earlier. And she was in a sweat-soaked slip, and she looked distraught. She looks at him and is like, I delivered my own baby. And she said that she had gone into labor on the interstate between Santa Fe and Albuquerque and gave birth on the side of the road, and she, severed the umbilical cord with her teeth. Like,
what?
Yeah. Whoa. So the baby was, like, still waxy with mucus and blood covering its head, and she called her Amanda Michelle. So, as I said, this part was really confusing because apparently Darcy and her husband Ray, which is also confusing because it's the last name of the husband, had been in, I guess, to buy a car like the week before. And he checked like the sales log and I guess their names were on there. They couldn't afford the car. But he remembered her, like, looking pregnant and, like, saying at the time, like, oh, I'm due in 2 weeks or something. Yeah. So she just randomly stole this baby, drove to this car lot, asks for the guy who was going to sell them the car.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't fucking know. It's really fucking weird to me.
Out of her fucking mind. Yeah.
So, one of the car salesmen was, like, kneeling by her door, and then Darcy asked him to remove a toy 9mm Ruger that was on the rear floorboard and put it in the map pocket, and then she asked him to ride with her to the hospital where her husband was waiting. So the baby's time of birth was logged at the time of admission, which was 4:45 p.m. Darcy was exhausted, but she was, like, apparently thrilled or whatever with her new baby, mm-hmm. and apparently her husband noticed that he had gotten her like this necklace or whatever, mm-hmm. and he noticed that it was broken and that, like, of something that was on it was missing, I guess, or something. It was like some weird thing that started with a K. I couldn't say the name of it, so I just didn't write it down. But anyways, she refused to be examined but insisted the baby be checked. She had blood covering her body from her thighs to her feet and was, like, covered in mud. Ew. Too. Doctors were, like, worried that she was, like, bleeding out. She was, like, had so much blood on her. They're like, we need to, like, check you. She's like, no, like, she's, like, refusing. She just wanted to, like, sign the waiver and fucking leave. But her husband wouldn't let her. He's like, no, like, you need to be examined. So apparently Ray and Darcy, they had met in 1984 in Oregon. She would tell people that they were rich and that they lived in a fancy house, even though they didn't. I guess she was, like, given away by I don't know what it was. It was, like, a postman or something. Her dad was at 11.
Oh.
I don't fucking know. It was really weird reading about this. And she was adopted by her mother, who made wedding cakes. I just want to say who the person I got this, like, information from, like, the story I was reading, like, they wrote about the mother so, like, horribly. They're like, her mother was a fat, or she, like, referred to her mother as a fat pig who made wedding cakes. Something like that. Christ. Yeah. Hey. I was like, oh my God. But yeah.
Take it easy.
Yeah. So I was like, oh my gosh. Anyways, she left home before she finished high school and moved in with Ray, and she ends up graduating, but I guess her parents didn't even go to, like, her graduation kind of thing. Also, like, she was, like, molested in third grade by her neighbor, and she had a sexual relationship with her cousin.
Oh,
that her, like, psychiatrist testified, like, at her trial. So, anyways, after the loss of her own child, she became, like, obsessed with having a baby. So in 1986, she had taken maternity leave at her job. She worked at a department store, and I guess, like, it was, like, a paid leave too. And she began like, wearing maternity clothes, even though her doctor had given her, like, multiple negative tests. So then in 1987, she told co-workers that the baby was stillborn and had even, like, asked her husband to, like, cover the story for her. And he was like, no. So.
Oh.
Yeah. So then.
Like, I don't blame him. That's crazy.
Yeah. So he, like, still thinks she's pregnant at this point. It's kind of confusing.
Yeah.
At the time, she said she was due in May, okay, when she's, like, doing all this stuff with her job and everything like that. Then they moved to Albuquerque and says she's due in July. Then it was July 16th, then the 23rd. And but by the time she delivered the baby, it had been 14 months of her, like, pretending to be pregnant, wearing maternity clothes, like, having this fake belly, like.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
So no one asked her, like, hey, you've been pregnant for, like, over a year.
Yeah, it's really weird. So that's what I was thinking. I was like, what the fuck? I'm like, is her husband dumb? Like,
how maybe he's just a fucking idiot.
Yeah. So yeah, anyways, that was that. So at 6:30 p.m. Sam Ray So at 6:30 p.m. Sam reports his wife missing. They search and they call, like, everywhere looking for her. They're, like, calling, like, hospitals and checking airports, all this stuff to see if she, like, maybe, like, decided to run away or something. They can't find her. So then, obviously, like, word gets out that she's missing. And doctors at the OBGYN part of the hospital know that, like, the baby wasn't born vaginally because its head is, like, perfectly round. And they're, like, okay, they're, like, kind of, like, suspicious. So after, like, constant, like, nagging from, like, doctors and stuff, Darcy's finally, like, fine, like, you can examine me. And I guess Dr. Susan Graham looked at her and said that she looked like a woman who was 20 weeks pregnant with a nice little bulge, but the stomach was soft and she hadn't given birth. And I was like, okay. So then Pierce finally like admits that she lied. Then she says that the baby was delivered by a surrogate in Santa Fe and that the midwife splashed blood on her legs to help her appear as if she had given birth. That she was just, like, afraid to admit that, like, she wasn't pregnant to her husband.
Wow.
Yeah, she claimed that she met her outside an abortion clinic in Santa Fe and that she'd paid her $10,000 to, like, give her this baby. But then they start asking her more questions, like, where'd you get $10,000? What's her name? Where does she live? And she, like, can't answer any of them. So they're like, yeah, she's fucking lying. So they finally confront her and they're like, hey, do you know this woman she's missing right now? Her name is Sydney Ray. She's like, no, like, you know, I'm really sorry that woman's missing, but I don't know who that is. Mm-hmm. So they keep saying, like, what if this was you, like, this and that, like, trying to, like, make her feel bad, get her to, like, admit. At one point, like, they bring her the baby to hold, and she holds it in her hand and says that she finally felt like a real person and that this baby would live with her for the rest of its life. Yeah. So, she finally admits that she's done something horrible, but she can't talk about it. So then she asks for, like, someone very specific, like, from the police department or something like that. They come and talk to her, and, like, within minutes, she admits and, like, confesses to, like, what she did. And they drive her to that same, like, road that she was on earlier. Oh, my God. Yeah, and, like, apparently while they're driving with her, she's, like, very chatty, like, telling them about, like, the toy gun and, like, oh, I thought about turning around right here, and just, like,
ew.
Yeah, really weird. So then she starts to get hysterical, like, when they pull up to, like, where, like, the body is, and she's like, I killed her. I took the baby. God, I hope she's not dead. And she, like, points to a tree and says,
you gutted her. What do you mean you hope she's not dead?
Yeah, so, so they get out of the car where she points to, like, this tree, and Sydney Ray's, like, laying on her back. She was strangled with a pink monitor belt that was hanging from the tree. She was cut open with an ignition to her blazer, the ignition key.
Oh, my God.
And it was a 5-inch wound in exactly the right spot for a cesarean.
Whoa.
Yeah. Which is, like, I just was, like, trying to picture being cut open with a key.
A key. It's, like,
dull. Yeah, it's really disturbing.
She, I mean, the fucking force you'd have to jam that into somebody.
Yeah. Oh my god. And apparently, even though she was, like, unconscious, like, during this whole thing, she was, like, still alive. So I guess she thought she had killed her, but she didn't. So police move her body, and when they moved her body, they found that piece of the necklace that was missing, like, underneath her too. So
Oh my god.
So I guess, like, she's, like, before her trial, they do, like, the whole, like, psychological examination of that and all of that. And apparently, like, she had been put under hypnosis and, like, they, like, determined that she had, like, multiple personality disorder and would, like, talk about, like, this dark part of herself. And they had all these really weird videos where she's acting really weird, but they didn't play them during the trial, I guess. But anyways, even after all of this, the jury still was like, no, like, she's guilty. So they found her guilty of first-degree murder. And at that time, it was, like, it was only the third known case where, like, someone had done this, like, cut a baby out of someone because they wanted, like, a child. And so then, like, I guess the baby was, like, reunited with the father, and it was, like, perfectly healthy. It was born, like, 6 pounds, 8 ounces. They said the only thing is it had, like, a little, like, scratch on his forehead.
Dude.
Yeah.
That is one lucky baby. Yeah. That poor baby. Did you look up? Like, where's that baby now?
I thought about it. It must be, like, weird to, like, just be, like, that baby. Like, like.
Wonder how your mom died? Yeah. Somebody cut your mother open and then stole you out of her belly. Like, how do you live with that?
So weird. But, yep, that was that story. It's just, like, kind of bizarre and crazy. Because, like, I've heard other ones, too, where it's, like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I've watched some shows of, like,
because I remember one, it was, like, steal. The woman who, like, was, like, on Craigslist or something to go get baby clothes, and the lady, like, knocks her out.
I feel like maybe that was the one. There was one woman that was, like, just obsessed with the idea of being pregnant, and I think she, the same thing, but, like, where she was never actually pregnant and miscarried, she would just, like, do it a lot. Yeah, it's just weird.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. And then, sorry, I forgot to write down my sources. I am a horrible person. I don't know.
That's okay. At least you remember yours.
One day I'll... Thanks to all the people who helped out.
Yeah.
I can't acknowledge you, but...
we could, you know, put links.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe we'll the most tech... internet savvy person. I struggle a lot with the basics, so that's why I've never really I've never really tried to. I suck is what I'm trying to say. I have not done a good job, sorry. I'm cutting all of that out. Okay,
anyways,
cool. All right, so mine isn't necessarily about death, but just like a story I've been obsessed with since I saw the documentary. But before I do that, hold on. Okay. Actually, do I care about the facts? Do we? New Mexico has more PhDs per capita than any other state. So that's impressive. They have more cows than people. So that's exciting. Taos has been inhabited for over 1,000 years.
Oh.
So get it, Taos. And then it's illegal to dance while wearing a sombrero in New Mexico. So the next, you know, think twice before you sombrero.
Yeah.
In New Mexico, you've been warned. So if cops come and beat you senseless, I think you deserved it. All right, I'm going to say my sources first, because if I don't do it now, I just won't do it. So the Hot Coffee documentary, that's the one that I saw some like 10 years ago, and I've been trying to tell everyone I've ever met in my life about this documentary and just like how much it changed my perception of media before it was cool, you know? So there's that. I got a bunch of information off of a YouTuber named Kendall Ray. Have you heard of her?
Uh-uh.
Okay. She like covers murder. She's very British. Huh. Oh, wait, is she British? I think she's British. there was an Adam Ruins Everything. Little like 10-15 minute video. It was pretty cool. Citizen.org, Legal Myths, The McDonald's Myth, and then tortmuseum.org, Liebeck versus McDonald's. So this is the infamous hot coffee case, if you haven't put those things together. So if you're unfamiliar with it, you might have thought that these top five myths about Stella Liebeck were true. The 79-year-old woman who was horribly burned by McDonald's coffee. So the first myth is that she was a middle-aged woman that, after getting a coffee at the drive-thru, tried to drive down the road with a cup between her legs and spilled it. So that was like a big myth that really drove people to hate her. Like, well, if she's a dumb bitch that like put coffee between her legs while she was driving, she totally deserved it.
Yeah.
So that's not true. She just got a little itty bitty burn. That's not right. She hurt herself on purpose just so she could get millions of dollars. Also definitely not correct. She got millions of dollars. She did not get millions of dollars. And that she's the reason there are so many frivolous lawsuits. That is not true. So, Stella Liebeck lived in Albuquerque, New Mexico. There really isn't too much information about her life other than her involvement in the hot coffee case, unfortunately. That's what she'll be known for forever. So at the time, she was 79 years old. She had just retired from decades worth of teaching and had lost her husband about 1 year before this horrible incident. So on February 2nd, 1992, Stella is riding in the passenger seat with her grandson, Christopher, and she's just in the passenger seat. They just dropped off a family member off the airport. So on their way home, they decide to stop and grab some provisions. So Stella gets a little 49-cent cup of coffee, and her grandson grabs a value meal. So they knew that they were going to be driving and eating. So he pulled into the passenger, or I'm sorry, so he pulled into a parking spot, and they just sat while they, like, got themselves situated. So Stella just wanted to put a little bit of cream and sugar in her cup, but this is a sweet 1989 Ford Probe, and the Ford Probe, you know, it was kind of before like they really thought about convenience for the customer. It was just like slap as many shitty cars out as you can. So it still didn't, it didn't have any cup holders, and then on top of that, with that model, there like every surface was like slanted. So she literally couldn't put it down anywhere, so she just, like everybody, just put it between her knees and was gonna put a little cream and sugar in it. So So she takes a lid off, and then unfortunately that little 49 cent cup of coffee, it like just spills back. And remember, like, seats, they're a little lifted. Yeah. So it's literally like aimed right at her crotch, in her thighs, and just goes down. And then it pools like under her butt. So like her butt cheeks are burning. And they said like, yeah, like burns to her genitals, her thighs. But so her grandson said, sorry. So her grandson said that he didn't know what was going on because she just started screaming out of nowhere. She had unknowingly worn an unfortunate material. So she was wearing a sweatsuit that I guess trapped the heat in and made it like even worse than it would have been if it had been a different material. So again, she didn't know. And then, yeah, so like I said, and then it pooled under her butt. So I put that in the story. And then... So Stella jumps out of the car as fast as a 79-year-old woman can jump out of a car. So she, like, takes her sweats off. She's just in a parking lot.
Yeah.
Like, this is how hot it must be that a 79-year-old woman just threw her clothes off and is just hanging, like, ass out in the parking lot. So you know it's fucking bad. So luckily, her grandson had a sheet in his trunk. He wrapped it around her. He laid her down in the backseat of his car, and then he drove to the nearest hospital. And Stella said that she was in the backseat feeling really nauseous. She had a headache, and she was shaking uncontrollably. Mm-hmm. So the first hospital they get to, it's not only is it short-staffed, but apparently there's like a multi-car pileup that's just happened. So all the doctors are like on call. Yeah. There's like car victims fucking everywhere. So they kind of told them, they were like, so if you want her to be seen like immediately, you have to go to another hospital. So Stella's like dying in the back seat.
Yeah.
And he's got to drive her to the next nearest hospital. So it's 45 minutes from her time of being burned until being seen by a doctor. Yeah, it was 45 minutes. So she's finally able to be seen by a doctor, and the staff was like shocked at how horrific her injuries were from just like a little 49 cent cup of coffee. Yeah. And the doctors weren't sure that she would even live. I know, right? Like, I remember it being bad.
Yeah.
And then like rewatching it, I was like, this is like even worse than I remember it being. So the burns covered 16% of her body, and 6% of those burns were third-degree burns. So for those unsure of the severity of a third-degree burn, it can be described as having killed the skin all the way down to the fatty tissue. So that's all on her inner thighs. In order to begin repairing the damage, they have to do something called debridement, and that's just a removal of all the dead tissue, and apparently that is, like, an extremely... Yeah. Have you, like, ever had that or, like, known anyone?
Yeah, when my little brother was a kid, he pulled the iron down, like, this, and then he put his hand up, and it burnt his hand, like, so bad. And I remember, like, I think it was, like, almost, like, every day or something, we had to, like, scrub his hand and put this cream on it. And he was, like, 2 years old, so he would, like, scream, like, bloody murder. And
it was just, like, God.
Yeah, it was really horrible, and I was just like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Like, so that's painful. The burns were so severe she needed skin grafts. Taking the good skin from the outer thigh to patch up her inner thigh, and then, yeah, there was a good chance that even that procedure would kill her, too. And so she ended up being in the hospital for 8 days. And then, like, Stella lost 20 pounds in the hospital on her already very thin frame. So that left her at 83 pounds when she left the hospital. Oh my God. I was like, I think I weighed 83 pounds in, like, fifth grade.
Yeah,
dude.
Literally.
Like, I was a fat little kid, man. Like, I was thick as shit. And it's like, I totally outweighed this woman, you know, at, like... 10. So she needed full-time care for 3 weeks, and she was basically disabled for 2 years because of like the severity of her skin damage, and it really limited her mobility. So Stella's daughter had to take off a month off of work just to care her for her mother, and she was not given, as far as like it seemed, it sounded like she wasn't given paid time off. With the help of her family, she constructed a letter asking McDonald's to cover the cost of the hospital bills and alerted them to the fact that their coffee was too hot and should probably be cooled before being served to customers. The letter also stated that if they were aware of how hot they served their coffee, that they should consider changing their policy because it was, like, extremely dangerous. And the cost of the hospital bill was around $10,000. So I heard different numbers between $10,000 and $20,000. So I think $10,000 was the hospital bill, and I think $20,000 was, like, the total cost of all medical expenses over, like, the next couple years. So, All right, so like I said, they wanted the cost of the hospital bills to be covered, the $10,000, and the McDonald's in response offered them $800. And at this point, there's still no intention to sue. Like, they are not talking about suing McDonald's at all. They just want, like, compensation. Yeah. So Stella had never sued anyone in her life. So the idea that suddenly at age 79, she found her calling as, like, a money-grubbing whore is pretty incredible. Like, now she'll strike that she's a frail old woman. Yeah. She's, whoops, I, like, kicked the whole thing. But it's like, yeah, I don't know, like, she's in it for the long con. She's been planning it all along. Yeah. But the woman was, like, an angel. She seemed so fucking sweet. When you listen to her talk, it's like, she could be my grandma, you know? So when lawyers were brought in to the scene, they discovered that McDonald's required all of its franchisees to keep their holding temperatures for coffee at around 180 and 190 degrees. So experts confirmed that if liquid that hot makes contact with the skin for more than just a few seconds, it could start making third degree burns. So Stella literally would have had 2 seconds to get her fucking clothes off in order to not get third degree burns. So just incredible. And then they also learned that McDonald's had over 700 complaints about how hot their liquids were between the year of 83 and the year of 92. McDonald's had several chances to settle before going to court. First, Stella's lawyers said that they would settle at $300,000. And then eventually they went as low as $90,000, saying, like, we can just settle and just, like, this doesn't have to be anything. So still McDonald's, for whatever reason, is just, like, not budging. McDonald's reps were pretty indifferent about the whole thing. They had trivialized the burn, boasting that only one out of every 20 million hot beverages served resulted in injury. Like, that was, like, some kind of big number. And that, so they just felt like statistically it was insignificant to worry about, you know? So Liebeck's lawyers argued that if coffee was unreasonably hot, it could be unreasonably dangerous. McDonald's dug their heels in and fought back, saying that experts said that coffee tasted better at those temperatures and people wanted it that hot, and that they would not be changing their policy, despite a McDonald's rep, again, on camera admitting that coffee at 180 degrees would be way too hot to drink and definitely would burn someone's mouth. So, like, they know that it's really fucking hot, but they're like, but it tastes better that way. But no one would ever drink it that hot. So it's like, well, then why keep it that fucking hot? Yeah. Anyway. So the trial took 7 days. the trial took 7 days, and the jury deliberated for 4 hours. The jury felt that Stella was 20% responsible, so they reduced her compensation from $200,000 to $160,000, and they awarded her punitive damages of $2.7 million, which at the time was only 2 days' worth of coffee sales for McDonald's.
Oh my God.
That's it. Yeah. Nothing else.
Wow.
What they make on coffee.
Yeah.
In 1992. Yeah. Can you imagine what that shit is today?
It's crazy.
Anyways. So. Oh, I lost my place. I was so excited about saying that line. Yeah, so like I said, only 2 days' worth of coffee. The judge reduced the damages awarded to $480,000. He did feel like $2.7 million was excessive. I agree with him. It's a bit much. But he did acknowledge that McDonald's engaged in, and I quote, willful, wanton, and reckless behavior. Hmm. Yeah. Let's see. So the Albuquerque Journal wrote an article in the local paper talking about it, and they said the article was around 700 words describing, you know, in pretty good detail kind of what happened and why they came to that conclusion. So the wire service articles, though, were like even shorter than that. Mm-hmm. So that's where, like, this distortion kind of starts to come from. Yeah. And that it's starting to leave out crucial information. So then, like, those wire articles get sent out, and, like, there's even less. And he said that there were some papers reporting on it with, like, 40 words or, you know, something like that. And he's like, how do you explain the McDonald's hot coffee case in 40 words? Yeah. And it's like, you don't. You spin it wildly with 40 words. So, yeah, of course, and, like, the media, like, latches onto that headline. So I put that people fell into the same trap as we do today, which is they read a catchy headline that makes them very upset. They don't look any further into it. They have very loud opinions on the matter.
Yeah.
Despite having not clicked on the article.
Literally.
I have absolutely done that. And I don't comment anymore. I've just given up on it. Because it's like, I haven't looked into this and I don't care enough to really fucking look into it. So I'm just going to not say anything. Sorry, very loud paper. Okay. So as expected, the less facts that were given, the more the story took on a life of its own. The biggest myth that circulated was that Stella was driving with a cut between her legs. Mm-hmm. So, of course, everyone thought she was a moron.
Yeah.
Other mythology surrounding the case was that she dumped coffee on herself to get $30 million. So, like, they were nowhere near the $30 million mark. But again, yeah, it's like people just talk. So she's always been exhibit A for greedy bitches. And then when all she was doing was seeking compensation for a company's negligence, she is a fucking hero, Stella Liebeck. McDonald's, of course, comes out looking like a victim. They come out looking as this poor corporate giant that was taken advantage of by an old greedy bitch, right? Like, how we, I don't know how all of us at the time weren't like, what? No. McDonald's. Yeah. Why were we exciting with McDonald's? We just wanted capitalism to win, man. So they really exploited their position by whining very, very loudly that they couldn't afford a lawsuit every time somebody had a little complaint, as if they didn't have 700 complaints about their hot coffee, right? So other large companies saw this as their shining moment to kind of strike against all those evil people that wanted to hold them accountable for their actions. So big groups like Pfizer, Tesco, Philip Morris, they created front groups like Citizens Against Law Abuse. So it sounds good, but it's run by like private fucking companies. So they made smear campaigns against Stella. They really leaned into the misinformation. Another one of these interest groups is also called the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and its headquarters is in Washington, D.C. So it sounds so legit, but it's these, like, total front groups. Like, they have nothing to do with the U.S. government.
Yeah.
They sound legit as fuck, and they're just private companies that are, like, you know, lobbying for shit. So... All right. So these companies pushed for tort reform after President Clinton vetoed the original proposal to limit lawsuits against companies. So instead of striking, well, not striking, well, I guess striking works. So like, instead of trying to get it passed at a federal level, they started going to individual states to like play the victim and be like, can you pass these laws, you know, to make sure that these poor, innocent companies aren't taken advantage of by frivolous lawsuits, you know, again, just like really playing into that idea that, like, people are trying to get millions of dollars from us. When in reality, I guess most lawsuits against companies come out somewhere under $50,000 at the most. Yeah. So, like, the average is well below what they're claiming, you know, in all of their commercials and shit. Okay, so poor Stella's reputation was dragged through the mud. Seinfeld even dedicated an entire episode to Kramer suing a company after he stupidly stuffs hot coffee in his pants to sneak it into a movie theater and inevitably spills it on himself. So he sets out to sue. And then, like, that's how everyone thought Stella Liebeck. Like, that's how dumb everyone thought that she was.
Yeah.
When in reality, again, it's, like, nothing to do with the case at all. So, and today she still gets shit, like... Every late night talk show host I have heard like refer Jay Leno, Daniel Craig, David Letterman would all talk shit about her in their opening monologues and like for years, for like decades even. Even Toby Keith recently referred to the case in his song American Ride, which is just one more reason not to listen to country music. So Stella's daughter says she feels like her and her family have to relive the case all the time. And then the idea of putting caution, like the hot contents or something inside, it was a warning, not just to let you know that like the contents inside were warm, but that they were so hot that it could be a danger to your health. So that's actually what like the caution of the hot liquid inside. And then her family had remarked at how poignant the woman was before the accident, especially at her age. She still drove. She hardly needed assistance from anyone, and she valued her independence. Stella was never able to gain back her energy from the ordeal, not to mention all the surgeries she had to endure. So when asked why she sued, Stella said, "I was not in it for the money. I was in it because I wanted them to bring the temperature down so that other people wouldn't go through the same thing I did." And then Stella Liebeck, our own personal angel on earth, passed away at 91 in 2004. Aww, so that was Stella Liebeck. And yeah, just that reminder before you get worked up and freaked out about something that maybe you're not that familiar with. Like, yeah. ask yourself yeah. if you should really be that upset, literally, you know?
Yeah. You know nothing about it.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for that poor lady, especially like her last years of life, just being like,
mom. To know. And, like,
yeah.
Like, everybody hates you. Yeah. To know that everybody so hates well. You and you didn't do shit.
Yeah. It's like you fucking injured.
Yeah, you actually fought for the right, like, you used our yeah. judicial system the way it was supposed yeah. to be used. You were wronged and you sought compensation. Yeah. And then you just, like, the world fucking yeah,
so fucked.
Struck down.
Poor lady.
Poor lady. Sorry, I don't know why this is making me think of it, but, like, Joe Biden apparently got a colonoscopy.
What?
And, like, the papers were reporting on it. Like, Joe Biden just finished his colonoscopy. And it was like, what a bummer to be president. Look, I've had a colonoscopy. I did not have it announced. Could you imagine if you just got a colonoscopy and you know that billions of other people yeah, know no. that you specifically oh just had a camera shoved up your ass? Would you want that?
No.
No one would. I'd
be like, oh my God. I'd be mortified, honestly.
This does remind me of one embarrassing story, because I know we got to probably wrap yeah. it up. Okay. When I had my colonoscopy. So this is after I've given birth. All right. Listen, shit gets fucked up down there.
Yeah.
All right. So, like, there were, like, plumbing issues with my body. I was having, like, but anyway, I had to go to the market. I had to get this medicine. And I was like, okay, thank God. Like, they'll put it in a bag and I can, like, sneak out of here.
Yeah.
Because I knew that the medicine was called anal pram. This is a real fucking
yeah.
medicine name. So, like, I go and I'm like, here's my medicine. All right. Like, I'm embarrassed because they know. Are they going to know, like, yeah. what they're getting me? I'm like, okay, at least I can just, like, put it in my cart and, like, escape out of here. And then she fucking brings out a box, dude. Like Amazon would deliver, like, a PS5 size fucking
oh my
box.
God.
And in thick black fucking writing across the side is anal pram. Like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. It's like, I think I put it in my coat. I, like, yeah. fucking ran out of there like I stole a turkey, man. Like, I was gone in the wind.
So funny.
I was fucking humiliated. God.
Yeah. It's like a joke.
Right. Where it's like a camera on me right now. This is fucking horrible. So if you ever are getting anal pram at the pharmacy, bring an extra tote bag so you can hang, like, hide that shit as you're walking out the store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Funny.
Anyways, well, you're gonna have to get going soon. So okay.
It's okay.
Goodbye, young ones.
And good luck on your journey. What is it?
We hope you survive.
Oh.
Listen.
I couldn't remember. I was like, oh God, she's gonna ask me to say it.
A few weeks ago, we thought Sitting Bull died peacefully in his sleep. And then while we're recording, you had to let me know, incorrect, Heather. Yeah. He was shot in the fucking face. So that's the kind of yeah. high quality shit you can expect out of us.
You're welcome.
So, goodbye, young ones.
We hope you survived. You literally just told me.